Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Don Kennedy. So, Don, you can go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Thank you so much. So, I'm Don Kennedy. I am an attorney and a business owner with Convoy Road Coffee Roasters. I'm CEO there, and I'm also a business consultant. So, I do a couple different things. I don't think I've ever been able to just pick one thing and stay in my own lane.
Awesome. So how did you get started in your career? Like, what made you want to be an attorney? You mentioned like a business owner. Like, how did that all get started for you?
I want to say since I was very young, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to have a business. I don't think I had any aspirations of any kind of specific business, but I wanted to create something of my own. I wanted to be able to bring something that I did. And, you know, it's funny. We've actually been in entrepreneurship for quite a while. I've actually bought and sold a few other businesses, and I've started a few other businesses. So the business ownership thing, I think, was just part of a desire that I've had since I was a kid. What made me want to do what I do now? I think I just kept following kind of threads of interest. And, you know, the thread of interest that led me to law school, I'm actually a mid-career JD. So I went to law school when my kids were in high school. I just had decided that, you know, I was ready to pursue my education, and I just went to law school. I passed the bar at 44, became an attorney, and working as an attorney, I was working with small business owners and I was helping them with different things. And I realized that I really enjoyed helping people with their businesses, building legacies, right? So making sure that they had good, strong foundation, and that, you know, on the legal side, there's parts of it. But then on the other side, it's making sure you're running your business day to day in a way that's supportive. And that kind of morphed in that way. Well, my husband got some coffee beans and a tabletop coffee roaster for Christmas in 2020. And I'll never do that again, by the way. And, you know, his passion is coffee. He's been chasing the perfect cup for 30 years. He used his tabletop roaster. He got really good at it. And in January of 21, I bet him $1 that I could sell it on Facebook. So we did. And from there, about 4 months later, we decided that we were going to go commercial with it. And we've been doing that for about 2.5 years.
So are you selling all direct to consumer, or do you have a physical store? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so great question. We have actually 7 lines of revenue. So we serve 7 different ways. We do have a physical store that's open to the public a couple days a week. We do manufacturing and production. We're a USDA manufacturer. So we sell wholesale. We do sell some retail. We're in some grocery stores. And then we also sell to restaurants so that they can brew our coffee by the cup. We sell to caterers and things like that. We do coffee bars and catering. So we can do event stuff. So just about any way I can sell you a bag or a cup of coffee, I'm probably going to go for it. But the thing is we don't flavor our coffee, and I am no barista. So you're not going to be able to get me to make you like a frappe or a latte or something. It's just coffee, or iced coffee is all we do. And we do a lot of it.
So where is your location based? Like, where is the store or coffee shop located?
Yeah, so our roastery is in Van Wert, Ohio. We have a couple of roasters now. We are fully licensed commercial operation. And we also, though, are in Tiffin, Ohio, and we're probably going to expand to opening a second roastery there.
So where is that exactly? Like, you know, I mean, I'm originally from Chicago, so I know the Midwest a little bit, but where is that exactly?
Yeah, so you're about 5 hours from me. I've driven to Chicago a few times. If you know where Fort Wayne, Indiana is, if you go east about 30 miles, you're going to run right into south of Highway 30.
So you're on the western tip of Ohio near the Indiana border.
Absolutely, yes. And if you look out this window, you'll see soybeans, and that window, you'll see corn.
Awesome. So in terms of your direct-to-consumer channel, what does that look like for you in terms of e-commerce? You know, have you, you know, how have you promoted that? You mentioned Facebook, that you know, had this bet with your husband, which is really cool. So has it been mostly on social media? How have people found out about your business?
So interestingly, when we first got started, we didn't want people to just buy coffee from us without trying it. We found that that was kind of a gap in e-commerce. A lot of people can roast and then put it directly out into the marketplace. And when they do that, you know, you don't always know what you're getting. There's several large brands that have done that. So what we started doing is we actually went, we took little sample cups with us, and we would have people taste it. And they would tell their friends, and they would tell their friends. And the ordering that started online, especially in the beginning before we were USDA licensed, had to be only in Ohio. So we couldn't even ship outside the state. Well, we get licensed. We decide, well, we're going to be able to sell everywhere now. Isn't this going to be great? And it was very funny. The first people who ordered from us, a lot of them were from this area. Like we shipped to Alaska, and we're like, we don't know anybody in Alaska. And we get this sweet little note back that says, I grew up in Convoy, Ohio. I can't believe that this exists in, you know, around Convoy. This is amazing. So she became a customer of ours because she had that local connection. And that actually happened with quite a few people where it's like they would come and visit us and they would try it, or they would come and visit and they would order it back home, and then they would start doing reorders that way. Well, from there, it just kind of started spreading where people would say things. And we just started kind of getting these random orders from places. And it's like we really don't run ads, and we don't really target outside our local area. We like to kind of be a smaller community roaster. So a lot of it was just really organic about how that goes. But I do have to admit that 24 hours ago, we did open a TikTok shop. And I don't have any data on that yet, but we are doing that. We have decided to go ahead and open that e-commerce a little bit more, but it really was very organic in the beginning. And then it just expanded from there. A friend of mine in North Carolina ended up ordering Christmas baskets from us our very first year and gave it out to all of his neighbors. Like that was his gift. And the next thing I know, I start getting these orders from, you know, these other places. And I realized that the traditional e-commerce coffee roasting, people are really kind of taking a risk unless they've heard from somebody that it's good coffee. The other thing is most roasters who don't do a lot of e-commerce, a lot of times they roast for their own coffee shop. So they'll roast it in the back and they'll make your great drinks up front. And we didn't want to do either of those because I'm not a barista. So, you know, the direct-to-consumer stuff ended up also where like our catered events and doing coffee bars for people. One person orders a coffee bar, 60 people try the coffee, and the next thing you know, we're getting sales that way as well.
You know, for sure, word of mouth and organic growth, I think, is one of the best ways to do it. And I'm looking at your website right now, and it's really cool. You have this hashtag mugshots. Like, what is that all about?
Okay, so it actually started as a joke. I almost want to say that some of the greatest things that have happened in our store had happened as a joke. Our top selling morning blend started out because my husband one morning didn't have enough of one kind of bean to make us a pot of coffee. So he mixed the beans together and he was like, wow, this is really good. And so we started selling morning blend and everybody liked it, became a top seller. It was a happy accident is what we call it. So mugshots are kind of a happy accident because a friend of ours was being a little snarky and they took a bag of our coffee with them on vacation. And everywhere they would stop, they would take a picture of the bag or with a mug, or people were putting us next to their French press on the stove, or they would have a cat mug or a snarky mug or something. And they would start taking pictures with our coffee in there. And so we started calling it mugshots, and we did a contest every month. Where everybody got to vote, you know, inside the Facebook group, which mugshot was the best mugshot of that month, and then they would get a free bag of coffee. So it became kind of this, yeah, it just became kind of this thing. We pursued it because it was fun. There's 2,500 people, I think, in our Facebook group right now. It's not really super huge, but everybody in there's no filter. Everybody in there has a lot of fun. There's a lot of memes. There's mugshots. People drop all kinds of just, you know, they find these funky coffee facts and they just feel like everybody else in that group needs to know about them. And that's just kind of how it's been. So it's a community. Again, we're a community roaster. It's kind of a community feel of we're all a little crazy. And if any of us tried to start a day without coffee, we'd all be pending court dates. And that's, I think, how we kind of view the world.
On it. Yeah, because it's you can think of it like that way, but you also think of like mugshot as like a picture of a coffee mug. It's like I love kind of the play on word. It's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, that was again another one of those just happy accidents, and we ran with it because our friend was having so much fun with it. So we had another incident. I'm going to call it an incident. We took a vacation for the first time this year in a couple of years since we started the company. We were gone for a week, but you know, of course, we have amazing team that can run without us. And of course, we're a USDA licensed coffee roastery, and people were photoshopping their dogs and their cats, and they photoshopped a dog on the grinding table. And they were doing all of this kind of like, hey, the owners aren't here. And they had pictures of, you know, animals in the roastery. They had pictures of things all over. It was just very funny because they thought they would take a little bit of creative license since we weren't there to stop them. And that ended up being some of our most popular content.
Makes sense. No, yeah, it's always important to be creative, especially when it comes to this kind of organic group of folks. So obviously now there's a big trend in the technology space of AI. So you mentioned you just got on TikTok. TikTok is also kind of a more recent trend. It's where lots of people are hanging out. So what is the use case of AI when it comes to your business? And if you don't have one yet, like where do you see it, you know, helping your business in the future?
Okay, that's a really great question. So I told you I'm also an attorney. I don't know on the coffee side. We haven't even really started with the AI. But my law partner actually texted me today. This is so relevant. He sent me a text just on my phone, and he says, I have to send this to you. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, I opened ChatGPT and I asked it to create me a story. I said, a story about what? He said, when dogs were in charge. I said, in charge of what? He says, no, let me just send you the story. So he gave this thing just a couple of prompts, and within 5 seconds, he said it came back and it gave him this incredible story. And you start reading this thing. It was the dog's best day. And it started saying things like these A-list dog celebrities and their well-groomed humans attended the red carpet event. It was actually pretty clever. And he says, you know, I wonder about this to help us writing articles or helping us source material. There is a famous case, though, of lawyers using ChatGPT to write a brief to the court where ChatGPT actually made up all the cases. And those lawyers got sanctioned because they didn't check. So you still have to do your due diligence. But I do see that ChatGPT is going to be very relevant for things that are trending, articles. I would say in marketing, one of the ways that they would tell you to do content marketing would be to use the answer the public search engine, where you can type in answer the public and type in a topic, and it'll tell you what people are searching for on the internet. So you can answer those questions and have relevant content. I could see this being one of those things where it's like, what are the top three things people ask about X? And then we would be able to get kind of the topics that would be most relevant for whatever it is we need to do now.
Have you thought about, for example, like a high level chatbot? For example, if somebody is reaching you at 3 a.m. and they want to learn more about your business, they can talk with an AI tool and it can guide them, you know, from essentially from the very beginning to the end, you know, checking out, upselling them, helping, you know, guide the customer journey on your website.
I could definitely see that. I could see that being actually very useful and hopefully quite creative. I'm assuming that we would be able to kind of give it its left and right boundaries, so to speak, because our brand voice is pretty lighthearted and fun. You know, our, like, for example, our return policy is it's food. Don't return it. If you want a refund, let me know. You know, it's that kind of thing. We wouldn't want to veer from that because I think that it's important to have not only consistent brand voice, but that what they're reading on your website and what they would be hearing from an AI chatbot would be very similar.
100%. I think that's the cool thing with technology now and machine learning is you can only train the data to bring out the voice of your business. And I think 100% is really important because you don't want it to sound robotic. And I think many of the chatbots or chatbots that we've seen in the past are very generic, but I always think of like these high level chatbots, they can add lots of value for different businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things about chatbots that I would want to be able to have you ever landed on a page and you're just trying to look for something and a chatbot pops up and you can't scroll past it? It just,
yeah.
I would want it to be able to have some things like, hey, only pop up and say, can I help you if you do, you know, this action or something like that. You know, I'm sure that exists. I'm sure people can code those in. But those are some of the things I think about when I think about chatbots that I have seen them on occasion, you know, pop up in places where I'm like, oh, I don't have a question. I'm just looking something up. So that would just be one thing I think. Industry-wide, it's like we could give them some real good, I guess, guidance about when it's appropriate to approach a human.
Exactly. That makes sense. So what would you say is the biggest challenge now when it comes to your business?
There's been some pivoting. And, you know, I don't blame the economy. I don't blame anything like that. But there have been some pivots when we dive deep into our data about where our sales are coming from. What our ticket prices are, right, per ticket, right? What's our average lifetime value, those kinds of things. And we are noticing that people are spending differently. The cost of things have gone up across the board. I don't think anybody can argue that. And so maybe in the past, if somebody would have, you know, bought two or three bags, maybe they'll get one and they'll consider it a treat because it's specialty coffee. So one of the things that we have done is by creating recipes and giving people multiple ways to use our product and telling them, you know, the value of the product and things, we've actually been able to maintain and actually grow our sales. So I would say one of the biggest challenges right now is trying to match what's going on in the market with the big guys. And the big guys, I mean, Nestle, they own Coffee Mate. And there's this great 15 minutes or 15 second spot on YouTube where it says, you can get 20 coffees at home using Coffee Mate for the same price as a takeout. And I sat there and I saw that commercial. And I was like, when is the last time Nestle talked about value or affordability? I don't think ever. Nestle always talks about coffee's, you know, best mate or coffee's favorite mate and about the experience of drinking coffee with Coffee Mate. So really, I think the challenge is looking across and understanding all the collaterals in your business and things and how they're talking to consumers, especially because they have a lot more ad dollars. They have a heck of a lot more reach than you would, and making sure that you're matching that and you are not, you know, contradicting sort of where those things are going. But we do a lot of deep dive into our data, and we really do try to be supportive of what our customers need at the time. And we have found that by sharing recipes and giving people multiple reasons to use our coffee, we've been doing articles on things like what to do with your coffee grounds. There's an interesting one that's going to be coming out about making coffee logs for your fireplace. I'm not kidding. There is a British company that published this whole thing on making a coffee log for your fireplace with wax. I'm sold. I think that's fun. But I think that that's the challenge right now, is to make sure that you're matching what's going on and you're really reaching your customers where they are.
100%. You know, I think one thing I've noticed, Americans will pay more for good products, especially coffee. Coffee is a very important thing. As you said, you wake up in the morning and you want to have something good. So I think it's important, you know, as you said, talk about that value, have that great community that you're building. And that's very important too. But I think on top of that, you can even offer people to subscribe if they get a shipment every month or every few months. Say, hey, if you get the shipment, I'll give you a free 6-second video or a free video of me giving this recipe or whatever extra value that you can say, hey, this is a free promo. And I think we've seen that for lots of our clients. I think a very effective thing to do is that if people subscribe, not only are they saving, but they're getting some additional content from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting. We did have quite a few more subscriptions last year, and it felt like people didn't want that auto pay anymore. So we have been looking at some other things, like instead of auto paying, you just subscribe to pick up in store. And we're trying to work out the technology on that without having to have your auto pay, but you could actually like pre-order, if that makes sense. So we have found that was kind of a challenge in the beginning, again, pivoting, responding, being open to what people are telling us for feedback. And, you know, people are still buying their two bags a month or the origin of the month. We do one every 30 days and those things, but the way they're buying is just different. We've had to be really open to that.
That makes sense. I mean, I've seen some tools to minimize churn where they go, hey, you know, so if you don't want to subscribe, maybe what if we got it every 3 months or every 6 months? Some people might not need it every month, and their preferences change or whatever it is, you know. And I think that's also getting like those options as well. So like, I would ask you, in terms of this business, what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Oh my gosh. Okay. What do I wish I knew? So this was our first products business. Like I said, I've bought and sold businesses. I've been part of businesses. I've started businesses. I had a consulting company. I had a publishing company with some friends, and I've been an attorney, right? All of those things we do product, like work product. We give reports. We do data analysis. I can give you spreadsheets, but that doesn't require me figuring out supply chain inventory. And we did this during the pandemic. Like the one thing I wish I would have known before I got started was that there were just a lot of moving parts that were out of your control and that I needed to absolutely be more adaptable. Like I would get so upset if I had something coming up and like plastic cups were out of stock, and they were for a while, supply chain disruptions. And I just remember we had this iced coffee thing that we were supposed to be doing, and we ended up having somebody drive 2.5 hours away. I was so upset. But the fact is, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know to have a backup vendor. I didn't know. So, one of the biggest things, if you're going to start a products business and you're going to have something that has inventory, take a breath. Always have like that backup plan, have that way to get things that you need in stock. I think that was really one of the biggest learning curves. I would say that it probably took me close to a year to figure out like the ebb and the flow and the cycles and the delivery and not to freak out if something's going to be delayed, you know. Just that was very hard. Now I've got supply chain down, I would say 85%. I don't think you could ever really quite get it to 100. But I remember the stress those first couple months. And it was very funny because we do have some other family members who have businesses and stuff, but nobody else had delved into products and particularly consumable products that you have to replace often. You know, if you're selling a t-shirt, you may only sell, you know, one of that design to a person, you know, one time or two times, whereas you could be selling bags of coffee to that same person, you know, every other week. Took me a long time to get that sorted out. And I'm not embarrassed today to say it, but I did have a couple of meltdowns during this because I was just like, I don't know where to get the answer for this. It took a lot of additional research and searching and trying to find the right mentors to walk me off the ledge.
No, for sure. Because my background is in supply chain operations, and I've dealt with a lot with inventory, especially with COVID. It's like you can't. COVID was just a wacky time. It was a wacky time, very difficult to get product. Everybody dealt with that. So, if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
Ooh, great question. So within 1 year, we should have our second roastery open in Tiffin, Ohio. So we should be serving there. Hopefully we'll close the deal with a large franchised grocery chain. So instead of being in one, what I would consider grocery store, we'll be in maybe 8 or 10 of their 38 stores, although 38 would be the goal. We will be having that second location where we'll be able to attract people to come in again, do tastings and experience coffee. We grow coffee also in Northwest Ohio in a greenhouse. Ridiculous. My husband's passion. And, you know, we would want people to have the ability to learn where coffee comes from and to have some plants growing up there too. And, you know, that's the 1 year. And a couple of years after that, I would love to have little community roasteries with other coffee passionate people who want to have, you know, the type of experience available where they live. And we would be happy to duplicate ourselves a few more times.
For sure. And like, I love that. I think it's Northwest Ohio is not a place where people think of coffee, but I
No.
love that you guys are doing that. And I think that's really amazing. I mean, it's something that for sure, it's like you're showing that coffee can be grown anywhere. And I think it's really a beautiful thing. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website, social media handles, or best ways to get in contact with you?
So if you want to get in touch with Convoy Road Coffee Roasters, we're convoyroadcoffee.com. If you want to get in touch with Dawn K. Kennedy, it's dawnkkennedy.com. But if you hit me up on social, it's just Dawn K. Kennedy. If you want to join our Convero Coffee Roasters Facebook group, now the page is tame. The page is professional. If you join the group, there's no filter and the memes fly, but you're welcome there as well. And maybe post a few mugshots. We're okay with that. And yeah, we would love to just hang out with you. I can tell you that on one side of the aisle, I have to be a little more professional, but for the rest of the time, shenanigans just roll around here. And we just absolutely love that.
It's awesome. Yeah, I think it's good to have fun. And I think that community aspect is really what's going to take this company to the top.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Dawn, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for joining us and rooting for you. Hopefully we can chat again in 1 year from now as your company grows and scales.
That would be amazing. You hold me accountable so I don't get freaked out over supply chain issues.
Sounds great.
Dan, thank you all so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Dawn. All right. Bye.